I was afraid. I mean, they would go in there and beat you up, mess you up, hang you up. Nobody ever hear nothing about you again. And I said, okay, to prevent all that, I'm going to go ahead and confess to the crime. I know I'm telling the truth.
That's actor Danny Glover in The Exonerated, a movie that also has a play adaption about six death row inmates who were later found to be innocent of the crimes they were convicted of committing. Glover played the role of David Keaton, who, after several days of interrogation, confessed to a crime he didn't commit. At the age of 18, Keaton was arrested and convicted of killing an off-duty law enforcement officer during a robbery at a convenience store. The real Keaton says he ended up spending 2 years on death row before prosecutors realized a mistake.
I didn't spend as much time as a lot of guys on death row because back in the early 70s, I was like only 19 when I went to prison and was sentenced to death for a crime that I didn't commit. It was pretty hard because I couldn't believe that the police officers and everybody, the district attorney, they didn't really delve into my case to find out if I was really innocent. But I couldn't believe that they would sentence an innocent man to prison.
That's Keaton speaking in a YouTube video in 2011 on the Witness to Innocence page. It's an organization he helped found and was heavily involved in that brings together those exonerated all over the nation to help put an end to the death penalty.
And it really didn't dawn on me until months later that I was actually on death row. And that's when I broke out in tears. A grown man crying. You know, men don't cry, but I actually broke down and started crying, and I was on death row, and I probably won't see my family anymore. You know, even though they came down to visit, it was just the fact that one day I'm going to die for something that I didn't do.
He said he knows what it's like to be on death row and feel hopeless.
It was a horrible experience. Locked up 24 hours a day. I noticed sometimes in the afternoon I used to crumbling in the corner of my cell trying to catch the little last glimpse of sunlight because we'd never go out on the yard but maybe once a month. And it was something that I had to try and get myself used to.
And Keaton said it was his faith in God and the encouragement from his family that kept hope alive for him.
And it was definitely hard. But eventually, everything came out okay. I was eventually exonerated from that charge, you know, and that was the greatest feeling that I've had, you know, to come out of prison.
On July 3rd, at the age of 63, Keaton died in his Quincy home. He'd had some health problems in the last years of his life. Mark Elliott says Keaton should have never been in prison in the first place. Elliott, director of Floridians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty, has also worked with Keaton in the past. Elliott says he remembers Keaton as a soft-spoken, gentle, and nice man.
I mean, everybody that met him or interacted with him said, what a nice man. What a nice human being. He was very creative. He struggled financially. You know, the state of Florida never paid him one dime for the years he spent on death row for a crime he did not commit. So he essentially lived in poverty, struggled mowing lawns and doing odd jobs and so forth to survive. He eventually became disabled.
An opponent of Florida's executions, Elliott says there's a component of the death penalty that people never talk about that relates to Keaton's situation.
There has never been a white person executed for the killing of an African American in the history of our state, going back to territorial days. And that really speaks volumes about what the truth is behind how the death penalty is applied and who it's applied to. Of the 25 people exonerated off of Florida's death row, 80% were people of color. That again speaks to the reality behind this and the discrimination and the lack of fairness and equanimity in how it's applied.
In Keaton's case, Elliott says he was sentenced to death by an all-white jury. Meanwhile, the U.S. Supreme Court recently ruled that one of the three drugs used in Oklahoma's executions, called midazolam, is not cruel and unusual punishment, as lawyers representing death row inmates had claimed. It's the same drug used in Florida executions, which caused the process to be halted. But last month, Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi recently asked the Florida Supreme Court to vacate the stay in the case of Jerry Correll, who's slated to be the next death row inmate put to death.
You know, the number of executions nationally has fallen to the lowest level in decades, and yet in Florida it's speeded up. It's at a record-setting pace now. For some reason, Florida's taken a different direction.
If the stay is vacated, Correll could be the 22nd inmate executed under Governor Rick Scott, one more than the 21 that occurred under former Governor Jeb Bush's two terms in office. Bush's 21 death warrants has been the all-time record for a Florida governor. For WFSU News, I'm Sasha Kortner.